You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello, and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name's Ken. I'm in the studio with Jeff, Neil, and a secret special guest. How are you guys doing, though?
Doing all right.
Good.
Little tipsy off something really good we'll talk about later.
Am I the guest?
On the internets, we have the man who sold Steve Bartman his extra cups ticket, Matt.
Yeah, it's something I've regretted for a long time, but I have to come out and say that is all me. You know, I apologize to Moises Alou personally.
Well, is that why you have a contract with him where you have to supply the urine that he washes his hands with?
Yeah, that is 100% true. Great for getting a grip on the bat.
Well, thank you, Matt, for all Cubs fans in the world for your service. But yeah, Ken, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
All right.
What, you got something specific you want to ask me?
Well, no, you intro'd the show, but you know the people who intro the show never get to.
We didn't check in with you.
Yeah, how are you? How's your mental health?
Well, now that you guys mention it, I have been having very dry hands. So, you know, season's upon us. You know, I had to do Edward sock hands last night.
Ah,
that's
yes.
Where you put Vaseline on your hands and you cover them with socks to rejuvenate. And now I'm like a brand new baby.
I use medical gloves, but I guess you could use socks.
That's what I had on hand.
Okay. Did you do a puppet show with them too?
It was pun intended with the on hand?
No.
Oh, well, let's see.
I did do a puppet show though.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. As you should. But we have some wonderful guests with us today. We're super excited about. We'll start with our guest because we have a special guest host with us. Returning to the studio, or the interweb studio, I should say, from New Hampshire, Oaken 5 supporter on Patreon, Kat Sokol. How are you, Kat?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited. I think the last time we talked before, you were applying to grad school. Now you're in grad school. So how's all that going? And remind the folks at home what you're up to.
Yeah, so I'm working on an MFA in creative writing. And I'm, you know, in my thesis semester. So hopefully we'll be done soon. So yeah.
And what's your subject for the thesis?
Well, so it's a creative thesis. So it's like a novel in the works, basically.
Oh, wonderful. Well, cool. We're excited to hear about it. So once it's finished, let us know. And we'd love to take a look if you don't mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Kat is going to be partnering with Matt today, but we need a host. And we're so excited. We actually have a host in the studio, as Ken said, which doesn't happen too often. But we're so excited when we have people in the studio because they can experience the massive amount of heat that accumulates here after about 20 minutes.
And moisture
and smell. So sorry about that. We have Ben Coughlin from Freeland, Michigan, coming here to host today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I couldn't be happy to be here.
Yeah, and so nice to meet you beforehand. And you own an awesome business, and you gave us some just really cool things that we can't wait to hang in the studio. But let's have you talk about it because it sounds like an amazing company.
Yeah. We are located in Freeland, Michigan. It's in a small apple orchard. We do, you know, the normal apple orchard stuff, apple, caramel apples, apple cider, cinnamon donuts. But on top of that, we have a full concert venue, a full wedding venue, a full restaurant, full tap house. We just have a lot of fun in the fall. Let's put it like that.
That's awesome. And it's called Bain's Cider?
Bain's Apple Valley is the name of the actual business. And then we have a hard cider branch, which is called the Bain's Cider Project. And then we just have a couple other tidbits scattered here and there. But we have a lot of fun. It's been around for 59 years. My family's owned it for 7, and we're looking forward to the next few years to reach that 10, that 10th year, which is we're going to have a huge party, and we're already planning. Let's put it like that.
The Baines Empire.
The Baines
Empire. Apple Empire.
Yep. Give us a couple of years. We'll be in Chicago, San Diego, everywhere else.
Sweet. Yeah, and great artwork too. We got a chance to see some cool artwork, great logos. One of them is you as a cowboy drinking cider with a bear, which is pretty cool.
Yep. Someone saw me riding a bull in Nashville, a mechanical bull, and they're like, you know what? Let's put an apple instead of the bull. And I'm super happy you guys enjoyed the artwork, and I want to see pictures of it hung in here.
Absolutely. Oh yeah,
eventually
it's gonna be in here and maybe in Jeff's boudoir. We'll see what happens. We're super excited to have you here. You're gonna be hosting today's game, so I think Jeff, you're gonna sit out today.
I'm gonna score keep, Neil.
All right, we'll sit out. Yeah, that's what I mean. You're gonna score keep. You're here mentally.
I'm never sitting it out.
Not emotionally, you're here. Yeah, but
he'll definitely tell us the ones that he knew.
That's right.
Well, we'll definitely hear that.
So. But I'm going to partner with you, Ken. And our name is actually named after what we found out, thanks to Ben, is a real apple.
Yeah, it's a Fuji Honeycrisp Fusion, right?
That's right.
Out of Cornell University, called the Ludacrisp.
Yep.
We're going to be Ludacrisp.
I love it. Ludacrisp. And Matt, what about you and Kat?
Yeah, we were told to come up with an apple pun really quickly. So, how about them apples? We're going to be Macintosh 0.0.
All right.
There you have it. We have our teams, and I guess it's time for the rules.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into 2 rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
I am the cream.
Thank you, Darren. Without further ado, let's get to this game. I'm excited.
Awesome. We host trivia at our spot every Tuesday, Tuesday or Thursday, Thursday in the winter, Tuesday in the fall. And I have just 2 rounds for you guys of questions that I've written and presented to my people in the past, and then a swing round, which we have a lot of fun doing at our spot. So my first question for you guys tonight is, in Tibetan Buddhism tradition, what is the name of the spiritual kingdom that people reach when they achieve enlightenment and lends its name to a song sung by a band whose name consists of a number, an animal, and a time of day in that order?
All right, we're going to go ahead and lock in. There's a lot of information to parse in the question, and we're just going to go with our gut instinct.
All right, so they're going with their gut instinct. Do you have a gut instinct?
I feel like the band is probably Three Dog Night.
Oh,
but
I know that.
I don't
name.
Know any songs by them.
I don't either.
Things you reach in Buddhism, I think about like Nirvana or enlightenment, but I don't know.
Right. And I don't think it's Nirvana. And I wrote Nirvana as he was asking the question, and then I realized that was not going to be the answer. So I guess we'll go with Nirvana and get this one wrong and move on to the next.
We said Nirvana also.
See, and guys, I was really hoping I could say Joy to the World mm-hmm. as you got this one right, because it's, I believe, Shangri-La-La-La.
Oh.
So
Shangri-La is Chinese.
Oh!
So Tibetan, the name of one of their most popular songs is Shambhala.
Oh, Shambhala. That's right.
But yes, the band that sings Joy to the World, Shambhala, one of my dad's favorite songs. That's why I had to put it in here. So,
oh, shout out to your dad.
Yeah, shout out to my dad, whether he's listening or not. question 2. If you're Billy Joel and you are singing to the regular crowd at 9 o'clock on a Saturday, what kind of job does John the bartender want to be if you were to leave the bar?
Jeff, you know this one?
There's too many characters in the song.
That's why I like this question.
I probably know this, but let's be honest. I don't know the difference between Shambhala and Shangri-La. So.
Yeah, he's 0 for 1 already.
I guess I really am sitting this one out.
Yeah, I think it's movie star. He swears that he could be a movie star.
Okay. What song
is this place? Get out of that
it's
place.
Piano Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always skip this one.
It's a crime, I think.
When you listen to Billy Joel, you skip yeah. this one.
You're
like, this wasn't on Glass Houses. Yeah. Next.
All right. So you said movie star?
I think that somebody wants to be a movie star. I think it's John at the bar.
All right. Sounds good.
It certainly rhymes. Yeah. We said an actor, which is kind of like a movie star.
Yeah.
Kat, great job. I think I'm not going to accept actor, but I will accept movie star because that is the correct lyric, just because actor doesn't rhyme. But movie star, fair. That's what I'm looking for. Movie star. Very fair.
One is much more technically correct.
Yes. So, Kat, great job. Question three. In the Hasbro skill-based game known as Operation, we see the body parts have to be extracted using pliers, using patience and steady fingers. Name one of the two pieces that needs to be extracted with an animal in its name.
All right. Well, our memory of Operation is not as good as one would hope, but since we know that they're kind of like punny things and not actual body parts, we're locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan of Operation?
Just been a long time.
Ken was a perfection guy.
Yeah, I like anxiety games.
I like pulling organs out of real people.
This is the reason I didn't go to med school. I was no good at this game.
Yeah.
Kat, did you have any ideas?
No. I was not good at Operation, and the buzzing sound stressed me out, so I did not play this as a kid.
I think that butterflies in the stomach is one of them.
That's the one
that we're going to lock in with.
Good idea. We said chicken leg.
Awesome. So, Matt, yep, you pulled that one as well. Butterflies in the stomach. The one that I thought would have been a little easier than butterflies in the stomach is the Charlie horse.
Charlie horse
and butterflies in the stomach. Those are one of the two I was looking for there.
I don't know why I was thinking ringworm. Like the rubber band was ringworm. You had to pull that.
Pull it out in one long.
Is this a favorite game of yours?
It's like those.
No.
Pull out the tapeworm.
It's like those fake medical videos that are on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
People really just like board game questions at our spot because it kind of makes them look back a little bit. So I do like a lot of Catan questions, that kind of thing, if you guys play Catan at all.
Yeah, it's been a while, but we should.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because you gave up after I beat you 6 out of 7 games in a row.
I didn't give up. Nobody gave up. You just stopped playing with us.
All right. So
again, Jeff.
I will hop on to the next question. What actor or actress should be given their flowers as he or she holds the title of being at the top of the list for adjusted box office leaders of the 2000s? They starred in major movies in the years 2001, 2002, 2003, 2006, and 2007.
So I guess let's think through this. So it was 01, 02, 03, and then 06 and 07. My guess is that the 01, 02, and 03 are a series and 06, 07 is a series, but
that would make sense. I was 2 when,
okay.
when
so you
this
didn't see these in theater
in 01, okay. So
I don't really have anything here. I know Samuel Jackson always ends up on these, and those might be Star Wars movies and then an Avengers, but Avengers is so much later.
Yeah. That was, I mean, when we were talking about box office, my brain went to Avengers initially, but I know there's probably something in the clue with flowers. I don't know if that's the movie or if that's the actor or actress, but.
Maybe a person with a flower name, but I don't think we have anything here. So we're going to, you want to go with Samuel?
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay. Mr. Jackson.
We're going to go ahead and say that flowers was a clue and say it's Orlando Bloom.
Yes. So I try to write hints in my questions when I can. So yes, Orlando Bloom, second place with Samuel L. Jackson. So the reason I really, really like this question is the red herring here. So all the years I listed are the years of the Harry Potter movies. But then you have Lord of the Rings and then Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean were the ones that people kind of forget about. So yes, Orlando Bloom. So question five. Considered one of the greatest moments in sports history, Jason Lezak pulled off an incredible feat to beat Frenchman Alain Bernard at the last moment. As Sports Illustrated said, Lezak showed unlikely actors can deliver big performances. In what city did this historic event take place?
All right, so you're saying sports blind spot for you.
Yeah, it's going to be something people compete individually, I'm thinking, probably.
Yeah,
so.
And because there's no year given, potentially this could be Olympics, so we're looking at different Olympic cities. If the names don't a lot of the individual sports, like one-on-one stuff, tends to be summer. So we'd be looking at London, I think Tokyo recently had one, Sydney in 2000 maybe? 2004 was, I can't remember. Do you want me to just guess a Summer Olympic city and we'll go with it?
Yeah, for sure. Unless there's like the other thing I was thinking was like the Tour de France, but I don't know where that ends. But
I was gonna say, I also don't know where that ends, and that might be the answer. So let's say Paris, because that was an Olympic, and it could be where it ends. I don't know.
And we're just gonna say LA because you said unexpected actors can deliver a big performance, so we're gonna say LA.
So this was question five. So my best friend submitted this one, Aaron. Aaron was a big swimmer and has been for a very long time. So Jason Lezak was the anchor on Michael Phelps's relay when he pulled it out at the last second. He had less than like a 1% chance of winning halfway through the race, and then just pulled off one of the best performances ever to come back. There's a really awesome Sports Illustrated cover with him kind of, you know, standing up giving Michael Phelps his hug. So that took place in Beijing. So yes, I didn't say a year because Olympics, and I thought kind of the city clue would make you think towards, okay, hey, London, LA, Beijing, that kind of realm. So yes, Beijing on that one.
All right, and after the first five questions here, just a slight lead for the team over at Macintosh 0.0, 20-10 against Ludacrisp.
So I did not expect it to get off to like a 20-10 start, so I apologize for that. But question six, hopefully a little bit more up your guys' alley. The first two bosses of Guitar Hero 3 are Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine fame and Slash from Guns N' Roses. However, if you're battling the third and final boss, Lou, you're playing what song?
I didn't even know there were bosses in Guitar Hero. I don't think I've ever played the actual like gameplay, I suppose. But
I need to break mine out. Dust off these old thingies.
Those old guitar controllers for like $200 on eBay because people are desperate to play them and they don't make them anymore.
We're going to lock in. Oh, also, I can't find a DDR dance pad. So if anybody's got one of those, they're willing to sell. Hit me up.
Were you a big Guitar Hero 3?
I'm serious, though. Please contact Triviality if you have a DDR dance pad that you don't want, and it works.
RE dance pad. Kat, were you a big Guitar Hero 3? You were 4 years old at the time when it came out?
We had the Aerosmith one, and that was the only one we had. But
yeah. So Guitar Hero 3, I think the big song that came from that was Through the Fire and Flames. I'm pretty sure that was the... at least the meme song that came from it, but it was kind of the one that's like the hardest song in the game. So I think we can go with that one.
Yeah. Oh, sounds good.
I was thinking that too, but I don't know if the guitar player's name is Lou. It might be.
What was that guy's name from Dragon Force?
Which one? There's two guitarists.
The main guy.
Oh, the guy that's on YouTube all the time? What is his name?
His name might be Lou.
Might be.
We said Freebird. I didn't catch that it was Guitar Hero 3.
So... Lou, his name in the game is Lou, but he's actually the devil. They didn't use the name devil in the game. He's got the big horns and all that. So you're playing The Devil Went Down to Georgia. But Matt, I will give you points on that because after the song ends, you go right into Through the Fire and Flames. So Matt, I will give you points on that.
I believe the guitarist you're looking for is Herman Lee.
Herman Lee.
Yeah. Good guy. Funny guy.
Man, I didn't realize that. Was it Guitar Hero that was Beatles, or was that Beatles Rock Band?
Well, they had a Beatles Band.
Okay, I remember playing that. Okay, and then Aerosmith is Guitar Hero branded?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
All right, next question. Considered by many to be perfect from start to finish, including Steve Martin, what game comes in at number 10 on the best-selling N64 games of all time, where the goal of the game is to save your sister, Tootie, from the evil witch, Gruntilda?
I will agree. This is one of the greatest games ever made, hands down.
It was it was a pretty awesome game.
I think we're locked in on this one.
First, Kat, big N64 player.
Yeah, nope. Again. It sounds really familiar, but
yeah,
maybe a little too young for the era.
Yeah,
right. Kat?
I think the clue of Steve Martin implies because the lead character was a big jerk. No, I think he played the banjo. I'm pretty sure this is Banjo-Kazooie.
We said Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, love it.
Perfect. Yes, the first question tonight where both teams get it right. Yes, it is Banjo and Kazooie, and I will back up that statement. I also think that game is perfect. So,
Which is the one from PlayStation with the orange dude who runs
Crash Bandicoot?
Oh, Crash Bandicoot. I always mix them up. Banjo Kazooie? What is it? Like a character?
Like a bear.
It's a bear and he wears a bird as a backpack.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The bird spits eggs.
I always mix those two up. I got to look a picture of that up. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So good.
Best Smash Bros. Character right now, too. Is this question eight?
It is.
Question eight. In Southern California, within an hour's drive of one another, you can find five major theme parks, including Disneyland, Universal Studios, and Six Flags Santa Clara. Name one of the other two. One with land such as The Beginning, Funtown, and Miniland USA, and the other with the towering Ghost Rider roller coaster looming above you as you enter.
There's only one I know. I don't know if any of these coasters are there, but there's one I've been to when I was very young. This one.
If you think it's in SoCal, go for it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll lock in.
Ooh, so I spent a lot of time in California. a few years, but unfortunately, most of it was during COVID time when everything was closed down. Do you have any ideas on this one?
Yeah, no, most of my roller coaster knowledge is East Coast based, but
Cedar Point, etc. I think that there's another Six Flags, and I think it's Magic Mountain is the other Six Flags in California.
Are you saying there's a second Six Flags?
Yes.
How many flags are there, Matt?
This would be 12 flags in California, if this is correct. and I think there's like Six Flags over tech. There's like a ton of Six Flags. Yeah. But I think Six Flags, Magic Mountain.
Six of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
No, there's one in Georgia, Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great America. Six Flags, Magic Mountain.
Okay. I'm pretty sure there's a theme park called Knott's Berry Farm. I think they actually also have one like in the south or somewhere near us, because I went to a version of it, I think, around here. But I know there's one in California. So we said Knott's Berry Farm.
Yes. So you have Knott's Berry Farm and then the one with The Beginning, Funtown, and Miniland, a Lego. So you have Lego World and then Knott's Berry Farm, all kind of within that Southern California echelon. Okay. A really cool place if you're like a roller coaster fan. So.
There's a cool exhibit at the Legoland. It's kind of like, you know, when you're in Hawaii and you walk over hot coals, but you just walk over Legos barefoot.
Awesome. Great. Well, I have two more questions for you guys, right, for this round. Question nine. Other than Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen with the Chicago Bulls, what other NBA team contributed more than one player to the 1992 U.S. Dream Team?
They got it. Interesting.
What are you trying to say, Matt?
I don't have.
I play a lot of NBA Jam. What do you know?
Thinking through the 92 team. I think that the team might be the Pistons. I know you're a big Joe Dumars fan, and I think that he made it onto the team. So Joe Dumars, Isaiah Thomas, I think we're both from the Pistons. So I think we're going to lock in with Detroit.
So according to Neil, I got it in just two guesses.
Yeah, which is good. And it's Ken's favorite NBA Jam duo to play with.
Karl Malone and
John Stockton.
John
somebody
Stockton.
Else.
Yeah. Yeah, we went Utah Jazz.
Yes. Yeah, so famously being a Pistons, you know, I wouldn't call myself a fan because they're awful. But Isaiah Thomas was the one kind of left off the team. So you have Karl Malone and John Stockton from the Utah Jazz. So the Utah Jazz is what I'm looking for there.
That's right.
Actually, Michael Jazz was my gut, and then I remember Charles Barkley, and that's why I put Hornets. Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan was supposedly
Suns.
Very.
He was a Phoenix Sun.
I'm an idiot.
And then you had Hakeem the Dream, who was on the Rockets. And
yep.
That's some Jeff Hornacek erasure, if I've ever heard it, gentlemen.
Awesome. Well, good job there. Question 10, the question to end off round one. So when I do trivia at our spot in Michigan, I try to break up every three or four questions with something I call a shiny question. It's normally either video or. Video or audio based, but I'm going to do something for you guys here that's not either of those, just because we're on a podcast. This is something I call a little game called Singonyms. Singonyms. So what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to take a popular lyric from a popular song and replace all the nouns, adjectives, and verbs with synonyms. And all you have to do is tell me what song I'm reading you lyrics from.
Okay.
So your last question of round one is, here are the lyrics. Golly, let's daydream as I walk back and forth through the benches of a parish hallway. I am unable to do anything but listen to a conversation of phrases. Isn't this a ravishing nuptial?
Oh,
I've got it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a shame. It's just a shame, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Do you want to chime in, Kat?
Yeah. I was a. Was a big Panic at the Disco fan. Not sure that I recent years am as much anymore, but they're old stuff I love. So I'm pretty sure this is I Write Sins, not Tragedies.
Yeah.
We agree.
Awesome. Well, good job. Isn't This a Ravishing Nuptial was kind of the, what a beautiful wedding, right?
Right.
So, yes, that was kind of the giveaway there. But one of my favorite songs from when I was in seventh grade and, you know, stayed in my room with the lights off all the time. So, yes, I Write Sins, not Tragedies on that one.
Nice. Well, Jeff, what are the scores looking like? Because I think we're picking up some steam here.
You are picking up some steam. In the second half, you added another 40 to bring your score to 50 overall, Neil, at Ludacrisp. And not far behind at all with 40, Macintosh .0. And with that, we just want to remind all of our listeners about our Patreon. If you're on Patreon, you're not hearing this ad right now because it's ad-free on Patreon. At just $1.
At just $1 a month, yep, you get all the newest episodes ad-free, including our Patreon drops and Airwave ads. So it's a clean listening experience.
At the low, low cost of $5 a month, you get basically double Triviality, an extra bonus episode every week.
Mm-hmm.
And above that, you get special goodies, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's we already have, I think, over 60 hours of bonus content available to download. And then now, starting in January, you get all those weekly bonus episodes. So it's a lot of Triviality, a lot of Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff in your ears, probably more than you need. But we appreciate it if you want to support the show. And you just got to go to patreon.com/Triviality Podcast. And if Kat's doing it, that means it's cool.
And we're just going to throw an extra 10 points on to Macintosh .0 because they did get the fire and the flames question, and Jeff failed to account for it. So it's actually a tie game, 50-50. Anybody's game, one might say. But what do we have in store for the swing round?
Awesome. Well, this is another shiny question that I like to play at our spot. It's more of an individual exercise per team. So each team kind of nominates one person and they stand up. And so this is a game that I like to call Squad Up. What happens with Squad Up is I'm going to give you the first names of people from a group. All you have to do is tell me what that group is. It could be from TV. It could be from movies, pop culture in general. Okay. My example for you is Michelangelo, Raphael, Leonardo, and Donatello.
Mm-hmm.
Would obviously
Renaissance
be...
painters.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm looking for there. It's going to be a little bit more difficult than that. But yes, they are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So your first question of the swing round is Jacques, Bloat, Gurgle, Gil, Peach, and Bubbles. Your second question, Goliath, Hudson, Brooklyn, Lexington, Broadway, and Bronx. Number three, TJ, Vince, Mikey, Spinelli, Gretchen, and Gus. Number four, Liesel, Frederick, Louisa, Kurt, Brigitte, Marta, and Gretel. Number five, Archer, Insanian, Slamfist, Ocula, and Freakenstein. Number six, Roxanne, Brawley, Watson, Flannery, Norman, Winona, Tate and Liza, and Wallace. Question seven, Michelle, Fran, White, Blade, Laser, and Blazer. Question eight, Max, Sergey, Quentin, Otto, Flint, and Adrian. Question nine, Zero, Zigzag, Armpit, Squid, X-Ray, and Magnet. And question 10, Chris, Jarrett, Eric, Lance, and Gary.
All right, we have those groups. We'll consider these as you listen to these messages if you're not on Patreon.
Okay, all the answers from the swing round are now locked in for this game brought to you by Bain Cider, the best cider not only in Michigan,
but in the world.
But in the world.
Mm-hmm. Great plug. So I will go through these really quick for you guys. If you're listening at home, sorry for all the names thrown at you. I tried to break it up as best I could. Question one, Jacques, Bloat, Gurgle, Gil, Peach, and Bubbles.
So we're thinking that's the Finding Nemo tank fish.
Yep, we also said the fish from Finding Nemo in the tank. Yeah.
Awesome, we're starting off really good. Yes, that is the tank gang from Finding Nemo. Question two.
Blood in, blood out.
Question two, Goliath, Hudson, Brooklyn, Lexington, Broadway, and the Bronx.
Yep. This one we knew as the Gargoyles.
Mm-hmm. I first started hearing these and thought maybe they were burrows, but then I remembered that they were named after that. They're gargoyles.
Yes. I remember a few podcasts ago, at least when I've been listening to, you guys referenced the gargoyle, so I wanted to put that one in there. Question three, TJ, Vince, Mikey, Spinelli, Gretchen, and Gus.
We think this is the Recess gang.
We also said the kids from Recess.
Yes, that is the gang from the animated show Recess. Question four, Liesl, Frederick, Louisa, Kurt, Brigitte, Marta, and Gretel.
We think this is the Von Trapp family.
Yep, the kids of the Von Trapp family from Sound of Music.
Awesome. Another one there. A little bit more difficult one coming up. Archer, Insanian, Slamfist, Ocula, and Freakenstein.
We said characters from the unknown Xbox game Fusion Frenzy, which is awesome.
We had really no idea, and they just sounded like monsters, so I said Monsters High.
So they are absolutely monsters. They're in a movie that I really enjoyed growing up called Small Soldiers. These are the Gorgonites. Archer has a crossbow on his hand. He was one of my favorite movie characters growing up.
I knew they were familiar.
When he said that, I remember seeing this movie in the theater. It was a great movie.
Next question, question six, Roxanne, Brawley, Watson, Flannery, Norman, Winona, Tate and Liza, and Wallace.
We said eight is enough.
I think Wallace was the champion, but I'm pretty sure that these are all Pokemon gym leaders, and it might be from either Diamond or Pearl, but I can't remember.
Matt, not 100% on, but you'll get the points for that. Pokemon gym leaders from Ruby and Sapphire, Generation 3.
That's the one.
Yeah, that was my go-to game growing up. Yeah, I know eight is a lot there, but that was hopefully counting because there's eight gym leaders. Next one, Michelle, Fran, White, Blade, Laser, and Blazer.
That would be Team Globo Gym from Dodgeball.
Yep, we said the same thing.
Yep, 100%. Purple Cobras from Dodgeball, one of my dad's favorites. Next question, Max, Sergey, Quentin, Otto, Flint, and Adrian.
We think this is the Sinister Six.
All right, this one we thought was the Outsiders.
So that is the Sinister Six. Good pull on that one. Quentin Beck, Mysterio, Adrian Toomes is the Vulture, Otto Octavius, Dr. Octopus. Next question, Zero, Zigzag, Armpit, Squid, X-Ray, and Magnet.
Yeah, this one, I think, just from Zero, which I guess, we think this is the characters from Holes.
Yeah, we also said the kids from Holes.
Yep, good job there. Really, really good movie. Now, the last question. I know these guys didn't get it, but Matt and Kat, did you guys grab anything from this one?
Nope.
No.
Okay. So you have Chris, Jarrett, Eric, Lance, and Gary.
We said together.
We said Knights of the Round Table.
So I would be mad at myself if I didn't do a Bowling for Soup question. These are the members from Bowling for Soup. I was looking forward to doing some type of Bowling for Soup reference in here, and there it is for you guys. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for making that reference, because we have no idea what their names are. Jarrett, Eric, Lance, Gary, Chris, and we even have
I knew Jarrett.
We have a rules read from one of them, right?
Yeah.
So you guys did very well in that swing round, both getting 7 out of a possible 10 correct, adding 35 to your scores. And since evidently you were even coming out of round one, you stay even coming out of the swing round. 85 points apiece for both Macintosh 0.0 and Ludacrisp.
And we got this in the bag.
Oh. Awesome. Well, we'll jump right into round two for you guys here. Your first question had to do a little bit of Michigan history for you guys here. Off the coast of the northwest part of Michigan's lower peninsula sit two large islands known as the Manitous. Manitou comes from the Algonquin word meaning spirit. The legend states that the islands were formed after the children of what type of animal were unable to cross Lake Michigan after a forest fire in Wisconsin, leading to them drowning and their spirits coming out of the water, creating the islands.
How's your Midwest history?
Not great. It sounds like my instant thought would be like bear cubs, but.
Yeah, we're looking at basically any kind of Midwest forest creature. My first thought was either deer or moose. They're pretty prevalent in that area. Also, the moose is kind of like the big humpback kind of thing. Maybe it looks like an island. I don't know. I don't know if you know if that's what we're looking for. But if you want, we can lock in with Moose.
Yeah, sure.
We're just going to go with the standard three wolves howling at the moon. So we're going to say wolf.
Well, cat, just missed it there. So one of the national parks in Michigan, you have Isle Royale, but we do have also a national lakeshore. It's known as Sleeping Bear National Lakeshore. So Sleeping Bear Dunes. Legend says that the mama bear and her two cubs crossed the Lake Michigan. The cubs were unable to make it. And so now Sleeping Bear, the mom, is just sleeping and she gets covered with sand waiting for her kids to come to the shore. So yes, bear is what I'm looking for there.
Matt ruining
another big loss for the Cubs. Oh.
Matt ruining Kat's answer there. Kat had it on the dot.
I know.
Yeah, sleeping bear. For.
If you want to, come over to our team, Kat. We'll have 3-on-1.
If you guys haven't ever been there, it's absolutely incredible.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Question two. What actress played an ex-secretary to Cliff Vandercave in 1994, a Bond girl in the year 2002, and a spiced carbonated beverage in 2017.
Do you have any ideas off the bat?
No.
So
yeah.
Cliff Vandercave is definitely from Flintstones. They have all very rock pun names, or that kind of thing. And I think that Halle Berry was in that, and I know that she's a future Bond girl. I don't know which one, but it's Die probably 2002. Yeah. Is that the one?
Really, Jinx Johnson out of this.
Is that her name?
Yes.
It's a great name. I don't know what spice drink it is, but I'm interested to find out.
Yeah.
So, no. Halle Berry.
Yeah, Ken and I both have the same orange bikini that she wore.
That's right.
Yeah, but we went Halle Berry as well.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that bikini after this recording. Yes. So
it'll be in the calendar.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Yes. Cliff Vandercave is the bad guy in the Flintstones, Bond girl in 2002. And then spice carbonated drink. One of my favorite movies is called Kingsman. It's the second Kingsman. She plays a woman called Ginger Ale. That's right. It is Halle Berry. Halle Berry.
Does she have glasses in that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's right. Okay.
that's what was
that was the giveaway was the glasses.
Seen the first Kingsman movie like four times. Like
yeah, the first one is good. The second one I remember not liking too much, but I remember her in glasses in that movie and then a lot of Elton John, probably more than we needed, but
way more than we needed.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first movie is way better.
By the way, Cliff was played by none other than Kyle MacLachlan. So.
Oh. Look at that. It's a nice cup of coffee.
I guess I don't know who that is, but we'll roll with it anyways.
Have you ever seen Showgirls?
Nope.
Showgirls?
How did I know that one was coming out of the woodwork?
All right, well, you'll know who he is if you see him, I think. But
I got to see a picture.
Yeah, it's either the... Oh, that's true. It's either the captain from How I Met Your Mother or Twin Peaks or Showgirls for the Showgirls fanatics.
Awesome. Well, we'll move right along here. Next question. I know that I need to do more geography questions at my trivia at home, so I have a geography question here for you guys. What type of biome is described as having an extensive cover of grasses with scattered trees, as well as having a high diversity of animals, mostly found in Africa, Australia, or South America? These biomes can also be found in Sandusky, Ohio, and Baraboo, Wisconsin.
They are locked in. How much... environmental biology have you taken?
Oh, very little.
As a creative writing.
Yeah, it's actually a prerequisite, yeah. I initially was thinking about the savannah, but I don't know if that's specific to Africa. Or like grasslands, but I don't know if that's too broad.
Yeah, grass, so there's five or six major biomes. There's like the forest, desert, tundra, grasslands, but I think that he's looking for a specific subcategory potentially.
No, it's one of the major.
It is one of the major. I'm probably missing the one that it is.
I think that I was thinking of the wetlands and went like, grasslands. Like,
yeah, let's go wetlands, even though I think that's south, but we'll just lock in with that.
And we're saying grasslands.
So the hint here, Sandusky, Ohio and Baraboo, Wisconsin, there are two places. They're called Kalahari.
Oh.
And Kat, you're more than welcome to come over here. It might take a while, but we have Midway because the answer I'm looking for is the savannah. The savannah is what I'm looking for. The Kalahari Desert, but they consider it a savannah. So the savannah is what I'm looking for there.
Mm.
Kalahari, that's the water, the indoor water park.
Yes, yeah. yes. So there's two of them. All right, next question. If you're currently reading the book Polar Bears Past Bedtime, you just finished the book Lions at Lunchtime, and you're looking forward to reading Day of the Dragon King, you are reading what book series?
Cat
seemed excited for that.
Wow. So polar bears at
from biomes.
Polar bears at lunchtime?
Mm-hmm. Polar bears past bedtime and lions at lunchtime.
It's just like it can't be like the Goodnight Moon series or something.
I have no idea.
I don't know. It's just making me think of ladies who lunch from it, company.
Can you work in a library?
Let's call it the LSD Chronicles.
Yeah, that sounds good.
This was very influential to my literacy as a kid. I think this is the Magic Treehouse series.
Very influential to me as well.
We're too
Kat.
Old,
yes.
Ben. We're too old.
That is the Magic Treehouse.
Now is it? I think I did a Magic Treehouse play with my students a long time ago with ninjas. I think isn't there like crimes being solved and. Or am I thinking of the Babysitter's Club? They're both of them solve crimes.
Yes, both solve crimes.
Okay.
For sure.
Anytime there's a group of kids together in a weird location, they're solving crimes in books. That's all I know.
Triple homicide.
Neil's never read Lord of the Flies.
Hey, I have the conch shell over here. No talking.
Now who hasn't read Lord of the Flies? Mother.
All right, little piggy, let's play.
All right, next question. In the viral YouTube sensation known as the Potter Puppet Pals, we see the titular team as hand puppets with striking resemblance to the movie characters. However, one of the characters in the series is not a puppet, but instead a butternut squash. Please name that character.
Is this one with the finger puppets? Where...
We could also lock
in. Oh, they're locked in. Okay.
The Snape.
Good.
Severus Snape.
That's what
Dumbledore.
This is, right?
Dumbledore.
Snape. Severus Snape.
Dumbledore.
Run. No. Run. I'll stop now.
I was hoping we could get it all going, but everybody wanted to be Dumbledore.
So the original question was going to be, please rank the four characters that joined Dumbledore in order of them coming and singing.
In order.
But I decided to switch it up a little
Harry
bit.
Harry Potter. Ooh, Harry Potter. Yeah. Harry Potter. Ooh, Harry Potter. I think he's the squash because his arms like swing. Do I say that?
I know what this is, but I you know more than I do, and I think Kat probably knows it by heart by the looks of how fast she locked in. So.
Let's say that Harry Potter is the squash.
Okay.
I think the highlight for this character was a different one that they did called Wizard Swears, but it's Neville Longbottom is the squash.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
So that is 100% correct. Butternut squashes have long bottoms. So yes, Neville Longbottom is a butternut squash with a Sharpie face painted on it with a big smiley face. So yes, it is Neville Longbottom.
At least we knew what was going on in the question.
Colleen, I have a long bottom because I have longer legs and a smaller torso. So Colleen always says I walk too fast. Because of my long bottom.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me recap the score.
Just merciful. Uncomfortable silence. I don't ever want to hear about your long bottom again, Neil.
My long bottom. Never mind.
Just give us the score.
All right, after the first five in the second half here, scores are changing up a little bit. It is no longer a dead heat. Macintosh .0 has pulled ahead by a little bit. The scores are 115 to them, and Ludacrisp trailing behind with 95.
Mm. All right.
But as always, it's anybody's game.
Thank you.
Awesome. Next question. Lists of the most romantic voices of all time are African-American centered towards the top. With crooners like Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, and Otis Redding. With albums like His Band and the Street Choir, Blowin' Your Mind, and Moondance, what musician, whose career has spanned six decades, consistently ranks at the top with fellow UK resident John Lennon?
What a dance teacher who played this album over and over again.
And we're just looking for...
Just need the artist.
Mick Jagger?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're good.
We're locked in.
Locking in less quickly this time. What do you know about UK crooners, I suppose?
And not a whole lot.
Kat is wearing a t-shirt that says UK crooner number one fan, though.
Yeah, how embarrassing. I'm not 100% sure that I can name any other UK singer. It's not... You know, Bono, like, I don't.
Very romantic.
Sting?
Well, Bono was Irish.
That's pretty sultry.
Bono's Irish.
Yeah. This person is Northern Irish, which in the UK means from the UK.
Mm-hmm. That's why I put it like that.
They like to reappropriate.
Is Seal American? I don't know where Seal's from. Seal, I don't know why that was in my head.
He's from the UK.
I think, yeah. And I love Seal.
You know, Kiss from Rose.
Yeah, great song. So in honor of that wonderful song, we're going to say Seal.
I will die on the
Here's a fun trivia fact for you, just to add, to stick in your pocket, like Bono, who doesn't ask for consent when he gives you your albums when you don't want them, but on your iPods. But Kiss
but
from
at
a
least
Rose.
Now you know how to dismantle an atomic bomb, Neil.
That's true. Kiss from a Rose was the second single from the Batman Forever soundtrack when it should have been the first, because it's the most iconic song from that movie. Anyway.
What was the first one?
I don't even remember. That's why it's ludicrous. Ludicrous.
Bat rap.
Oh. But yeah, we said someone who I didn't even realize was from the UK until I think like 10 episodes ago, but we said Van Morrison.
Yeah, so that is Van Morrison. His album Moondance is one of my favorites of all time. Into the Mystic, Crazy Love, Moondance. And then on his Brown Eyed Girls, obviously his big song that everyone really relates to, and everyone loves singing that song.
Is his first
Van
name
Morrison.
Van? Or is that the last name? Van Morrison?
No, it's Sir George Ivan.
Van Morrison.
Ivan Morrison.
Oh, that's where the Van comes from. Mm-hmm. Just like the shoe, the Ivans.
That was really impressive, by the way. I had no idea. All right, yeah, so that was Van Morrison on that one. We jump back on the next question to a little bit of mythology for you guys. In Middle Eastern myth, the Zaratan, Zaratan, is an enormous creature that houses large ecosystems on their backs, being able to transport them from place to place. What type of animal is a Zaratan?
All right, we're going to lock in with a guess.
What's it with ancient cultures and being carried on the backs of large animals?
Yeah.
I don't know. Will you carry me on your back?
I think I will.
Okay.
That was beautiful. Kat, anything jumps to mind?
I mean, I know that there's a couple different ones that use like a turtle or a tortoise.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of imagery of turtles with like trees and other stuff growing out their back.
Yeah.
So I would also like lean turtle, and I can't think of anything else. So show me turtle.
All right. Matt and Kat like turtles.
You did too.
We like turtles too, but we're going to go with what?
Isn't
elephant?
This a yurtle?
Yeah. When I think of Middle Eastern iconography, I kind of think of elephant. That I was leaning that way. It could be completely wrong, but yeah, we said elephant.
Yeah, I like turtles too. It is turtle.
Damn.
And the reason I put this in here is the lion turtle from Avatar The Last Airbender. Avatar just got re-released as a live-action TV show, so lion turtle. Turtles kind of go around with big earths on their back. There's a lot of, Matt's right, a lot of imagery with turtles everywhere. So turtle's what I'm looking for there.
What's your take Oh, sorry, go ahead, Kat.
I was just going to say I did immediately think of the lion turtle, like the second that this question started. So it came across. Yep.
What are your takes on the M. Night Shyamalan Last Airbender?
The scene where they throw the rock is the best scene in movie history. no, it's awful.
Take that,
awful.
Citizen Kane.
Awesome. Yeah, good job on that one, guys. Next question. I don't have them numbered. What question is it?
You're on eight.
Question eight. When looking at the original Super Smash Bros. Melee lineup, what character was the first character introduced under the Nintendo brand, being introduced in the year 1980?
All right, we're going to go ahead and lock in here. We have an idea.
Ooh, they have an idea. Do we have an idea?
I have played a decent amount of Melee, but I mostly played Brawl, and now I'm not remembering the differences between which had which characters.
The newer the game, they come out, like it has 40 new characters. They just keep adding and adding on some of these. Melee, I think, so Ice Climbers are really old. Those are mid to early 80s, but I think that this is when Game & Watch came out?
I was thinking about Game & Watch, but I wasn't sure if he was in Melee or he's definitely in Brawl.
Yeah, and that's a really old character because he was on like Watches or whatever when he first came out, like little handheld. So I think Game & Watch is a good guess.
I would be good with Game & Watch, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he was in Melee, but we're just going to go with Donkey Kong because he was in Donkey Kong.
Yeah, you guys were right on. Mr. Game & Watch was, if I'm not mistaken, the first character released under the Nintendo brand on those little handhelds that you had. He's a black kind of pixelated guy. Mr. Game & Watch is what I'm looking for there. Mr.
Kong. Game Boys, of which I still have one.
What is
Here we go again. Here we go again with the Game & Watch.
What is that?
We've been through this.
Have we?
He flips bacon. He flips bacon. Yeah. That's
how do you spell his Game & Watch?
Turns into an octopus.
Once again, we have to specify to you, it's Game & Watch. Game & Watch.
I thought it was Gaiman. Okay.
It's Neil Gaiman.
We've been through this exact conversation before.
I am having a little deja vu. Oh, it's like he kind of looks like Steamboat Willie with no ears.
Yes.
That's okay. A good way to put it. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. That's what he looks like.
I won't remember
now that Steamboat Willie is in the Steamboat. Now that Steamboat Willie is in the public domain, we're going to put out triviality t-shirts.
Oh, we can. Yeah, we should actually.
Disney.
Yeah, let's do it. We can.
That was a really awesome kind of segue there. Mr. Game & Watch is what I'm looking for there. Question 9 for you guys. I have a before and after, but I always normally do before, during, and after just to make it a little bit more difficult. So your before, during, and after for question 9 is a song written and recorded by Jackson Browne for the movie Fast Times, collaborating with a song about a Taylor-Taylor relationship with one of them wanting to go back to the holiday season, all while someone in the background is screaming, "Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt." And they might not be in the same or in the right order I'm looking for that I said it, but all three of those mesh together in some way.
Okay, so we have locked in. We did some brainstorming. We're missing one part of it. We assume it's a Taylor Swift song about Taylor Lautner, but we don't know any Taylor Swift songs about Taylor Lautner. So we're saying it's Somebody's Baby Got Back to You.
Oh, and you guys were dancing around it. I had Somebody's Baby Got Back, and I am not a card carrying Swiftie, so I did not know it. Luckily I had Kat on my team. And what's the end of it?
Yeah, so that song is Back to December. So somebody's baby got back to December.
Yeah, that is 100% correct. Somebody's Baby Got Back to December. I'm not a Swiftie myself, but I have listened to that song multiple times, and it's not bad. It's not bad.
And Kat, it's about Taylor Lautner.
It is. It's one of her few apology songs. But
oh, she's apologizing. Yeah. I know they're like friendly, right?
Yeah, still? They're good now. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank God.
But yeah, we were talking about on mute that Taylor married another Taylor, so it's two Taylor Lautners. Double the fun.
It was in a music video of hers recently. So.
Awesome. All right. Well, question 10 to round out round 2. Where is it? There it is. Whether you're a Notre Dame fan or a downtown Detroit bar hopper, you probably know that the traditional gentleman's weapon used in Irish duels, known for its large knobbed top, is called what?
Locked in.
There's a lot of vowels in this
one. That's cudgeled, Ken, a time or two with one of these.
Kat, what do you know about traditional Irish imagery?
Not this.
There is a wrestling character in the 2000s and 2010s named Fit Finley, and he had a little friend named Hornswoggle who was a leprechaun, and he would use this to injure his foes, and I believe it's a shillelagh.
We agree that it's a shillelagh. Is that what Gleason had in Gangs of New York?
Oh yeah, it must have been. Yeah.
Yeah, so a really awesome bar in downtown Detroit, one of the oldest, to my knowledge, is called the Old Shillelagh. So the answer that I'm looking for is shillelagh. Good job.
Was this like a bookend on purpose to end with the shillelagh and you started with the shalala or whatever it was?
I wish I could say yes. But
okay.
You mean Shambhala?
Or Shambhala?
Yeah, Shambhala.
So from Shambhala to shillelagh.
Oh.
There's your title, Jeff.
Good luck.
I already did that from Justin and Kelly type thing.
Yeah, oh, you did.
Hero, okay?
You did.
Give me something new to work with.
All right, so Mac and Tosh .0 doing quite well in the second half of that round, bringing their score all the way up to 155, and Ludacrisp trailing not too far behind, 115.
We're going to need some.
We didn't like totals enough.
We didn't, and I'm going to have to crack open a Baines here if we don't pull this out, just to relax and feel good.
And before we get to the final round, just want to remind everybody about Patreon. If you're on Patreon already, you're not hearing this because all the ads are removed. At just $1.
Yeah, and for as little as $5 a month, basically a cup of coffee if you go to the coffee conglomerate, you can get a bunch of bonus episodes weekly. So those are all trivia bonuses written by us for 3 weeks out of the month. And then the last
plus like 3 days straight of recording backlog.
Yes, so if you just want to sit on an island and only listen to our bonuses, you get to do that. And Matt, you're a big fan of the Crop Drop. You like doing that every month, is that right?
I love answering questions from you, the listeners.
Yep. And
if you want to hear him, you have to be a patron.
That's right. And you can ask questions, hear about it every month, and get some, you know, sort of unfiltered triviality behind the scenes, after dark, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, that's all at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. And if Kat's doing it, that means it's cool. So join Kat at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast.
Awesome. Well, for the bonus for you guys here today, I have five questions for you. As usual, the categories are super simple. You have a movies question for number one. Number two is about music and television. Number three is about Americana. Question four is about books. And question five is about geography, United States geography to be exact.
All the wagers are now locked in, and it's going to be kind of scattered betting. So we'll go ahead and tell you what we wagered during the questions. But let's go ahead and hear those.
All right, guys, for the bonus, question one in the category of movies. Since the year 2000, only seven films from non-Disney studios have won Best Animated Feature at the Oscars. Two of these movies have titles where one of the main characters is an animal and is also in the name of the film. Please name one of those movies. Question two, music and TV. The television show The Last of Us was nominated three times at the Emmys in 2024. Though it did not win, Nick Offerman did win a primetime Emmy for his role in the Bottle episode Long, Long Time. The title of the episode shares the name with a song he plays on the piano during the episode. Much like Kate Bush's Running Up That Hill from Stranger Things, the song made a resurgence on the charts after being featured in the episode. Who wrote and recorded the song Long, Long Time in 1970? In the category of Americana, USA Today ranked the most American pop culture tourist attractions in the USA, four of the top five lying on a coast. Lady Liberty, the Golden Gate Bridge, Los Angeles Walk of Fame, and the Hollywood Sign are in the top five, along with one spot not on a coast. What spot is that? Question four, in books. According to the New York Public Library, the adorable children's book The Snowy Day is the most checked out book in its system, followed by Cat in the Hat and George Orwell's 1984. The illustrations for the book...
Change of genre a little bit.
Just a tad, yeah. The illustrations for the book that follow in fourth place is currently the most expensive piece Rick from Pawn Stars has ever bought on the show. Name the children's book that follows The Snowy Day, Cat in the Hat, and 1984. And finally, in geography. Known for its ghost tours, what U.S. city is ranked number one on NBC's list as the most haunted American city and boasts landmarks such as Moon River Brewing Company and the Marshall House? They're very much known for their bells, bourbon, and bullets as well.
All right, we have our questions. We'll be right back with our answers. All right, we are back from the break and ready to find out who will be today's cream of the crop. So let's get the questions one more time.
Great. So question one for the bonus in the category of movies. Since the year 2000, seven non-Disney films have won Best Feature at the Oscars. Two of these movies have titles where one of the main characters is an animal in the name of the movie. Please name one of the two movies.
Yeah, we wagered 30 points on this one, and I know Wallace and Gromit's Curse of the Were-Rabbit won, and Gromit is a dog, so that's what we went with.
We wagered 20, and we were thinking of the Johnny Depp-led Rango.
Perfect. So, yeah, those are the two movies I'm looking for, Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit, and Rango. So good job there.
Nice.
Question two, music and television. Who wrote the song released in 1970 that Nick Offerman sang? The name of the song is Long, Long Time. Who wrote and recorded that song in 1970?
I had a feeling... For 20 points, I had a feeling that it was one of those rocker poet types from the 70s, and Neil gave me Joni Mitchell. I thought that sounded about right.
We wagered 20, and it's a name that I only originally learned from The Simpsons. She sang the Plow King song, Linda Ronstadt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good pull, Matt. That is Linda Ronstadt. Absolutely great song, great episode if you have not seen it. Highly recommend.
It's a good show, good adaptation.
Oh, I loved it. I can't wait for season two. Question three in Americana. USA Today ranked the most American pop culture tourist attractions in the USA. What is the only one not lying on a coast in the top five?
We said Mount Rushmore for 20 points.
Yeah, we weren't really sure if this was a pop culture attraction, but we said the Grand Canyon.
For 15.
So this list... pop culture is really what I was going for there. Again, I don't know why they consider Lady Liberty a pop culture attraction, but I was going for Graceland, which is right kind of in the middle of the country. Mm-hmm. personally never been, but really, really want to go. Question four, in books, what is the fourth most checked out book in the New York Public Library system after 1984, Cat in the Hat, and The Snowy Day?
For 20 points, we thought maybe Where the Wild Things Are.
For 30 points, we said the same.
Yep. I'm a big fan of Pawn Stars. Rick bought the illustrations of Maurice Sendak's Where the Wild Things Are for way too much money, but they were really, really cool, so I'm happy he did. Where the Wild Things Are is what I'm looking for there. And finally, in geography, known for its ghost tours, they're very much known for their bells, bourbon, and bullets. What city is known as the most haunted city in the United States on NBC's list?
Shame that we didn't bet on this one because we think it's New Orleans.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. We were kind of between, just with haunted, between Savannah and Charleston, but we said Savannah. But we didn't bet anything. Yeah.
Oh, it might be Savannah.
There's a murder in Savannah.
There's a murder.
So that's exactly where that comes from, Matt. That game they play in the office is called Bells, Bourbon, and Bullets. There is a murder in Savannah because it takes place in Savannah, Georgia.
There's been a murder.
So that's what I was looking for there, Savannah, Georgia.
Ah, it's like Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. It takes place in Savannah.
Well, I can tell by the way that went that we've been defeated handily, but Jeff, let's get the final conclusion.
Indeed. You were correct, Ken. Your assumptions, safe to say, were right on this one. Your team over at Ludacrisp did increase their score, but only by 10 points to 125. And this week's cream of the crop with 220 points, Macintosh .0. Congratulations.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great job. Most of it on Kat's shoulders. Speaking of that, Kat,
we would have had more if I didn't take away those points by overriding her on two of them.
Great game, Kat. So nice to have you back, and we're so excited for you and grad school and everything that you're doing over there. But any shout-outs you'd like to give before we let you go today?
Yeah, thank you. This is a lot of fun. I was glad to be back. I guess I'll just shout out my dad because he's probably the only person who will listen to this. And shout out to my cats for being unusually quiet in the background right now. So,
and what are your cats' names?
So my cat's name is Napa, and then my roommate's cat is Melly. But
Napa and Melly, shout out.
Be Game and Watch.
Game and Watch. Well, yeah, thank you very much for joining us. And huge thank you, Ben, for coming in person in the studio and for the wonderful gifts that you brought us and for repping Bane Cider, which we're excited to hopefully maybe come up and visit at one point. Maybe we can do a live event with you up there in your rooms that you have. But
That would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll have to coordinate that. But yeah, tell people where they can find you, where they can find Bane's, and anything else you'd like to say before we let you go today.
Yeah, well, first of all, I appreciate all four of you guys for having me on. Kat, you did a great job. I will also say that you lifted Matt up very well today, so good job. Start off, shout out to just my family. My mom and dad are absolutely incredible and allowed me to come here and join you guys today. They held down the fort this past weekend, which was super cool. We have on any given trivia night, anywhere from 20 to 30 teams that come to Bane's.
That's awesome.
Our regulars, the Trivia Eras. Andrew is a big fan of your podcast. Actually, he's the one that got me hooked on you guys. So shout out to Andrew. The Silly Goose Club has won 5 out of the 6 last week, so they absolutely just rock it. Our new favorite team is the Bernie Mac Sanders. This gentleman saw a photo of Bernie Mac and stood up and said it was Bernie Sanders. So that's kind of our new inside joke. We have 105 Mug Club members who just love being there. Shout out to them. And again, just shout out to you guys and everyone listening. You guys keep us all happy and sane. So thank you guys for doing what you do.
Thank you. And is there a website people can check out Bane's?
Yeah, check us out on Facebook, Bane's Apple Valley or Bane'sApplevalley.com. We got some really, really fun stuff coming up. We'd love to have you guys come to a live event. I think that'd be pretty incredible.
So. Awesome. And it's Bane.
B-A-Y-N-E-S.
Yes.
There you go.
Yep.
B-A-Y-N-E-S.
Not like Bane, like from Batman.
Right.
Although Bane
That'd
Cider.
That'd be pretty cool, though.
Come try some cider.
Bane Cider won't break your back.
It will not break your back. And it won't break the bank, either.
And it won't break the bank. This is turning into a Bane's ad.
You merely adopted the apples. I was born into them.
Ben was born in the apples. All right. Without further ado, that's going to be the episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to all of our guests and my co-hosts here. Also, thank you to Airwave Media. You can find them at airwavemedia.com. And check out other great shows such as Historical Blindness, The Secret History of Hollywood, and... Hey, I'm going to need some help with this one. It's called Wake Me Up.
Wake Me Up Inside.
Yes, thank you. Can't wake up. The podcast is called Wake Me Up, so make sure you check that one out too. And that's the show. We want to thank you once again. Thank you to Kat and Ben and all my co-hosts. My name is Ken, and that was Triviality.